Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
It's our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific Election Day exit poll here on the Brian Lehrer Show. And our next call-in is for the race that you've become personally invested in, that is outside the tri-state area, and that some of our other listeners may not know about or may not be following as closely. We call it our Plug Your Race feature. Give us a call and tell us briefly why this out-of-town race has become your obsession. What's important, and why do you feel invested? Now, some of you may be from somewhere else, and that's fine. If you're casting an absentee ballot and therefore are invested in a race in any other part of the country, or if you just become obsessed as a spectator watching political television or reading political websites or whatever, as an out-of-town voyeur, let us know why this race is important. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or leave your comment about it on our politics website, itsafreecountry.org. One example, one of the producers on our show has been closely following the 5th congressional race, congressional district race in Virginia. Very closely. He grew up in Central Virginia, so that race, though he can't vote in it now that he's a New Yorker, is still something of a local event for him. This is where Democratic freshman incumbent Tom Perriello is being challenged by Republican State Senator Robert Hurt in what is usually a pretty conservative district. So after winning election 2 years ago as a Democrat by a super slim 727-vote margin, Perriello has been one of the few candidates to not run away from Obama's agenda and the Democratic Party's agenda. The race has become one of the most highly targeted races for outside spending to pour in the country, and both national parties have focused resources up there until Election Day, a race with national implications, one that is still intensely personal for one Brian Lehrer Show producer from that region who cannot vote there anymore. How about a race that you're watching elsewhere in the country? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And along for this ride is Liz Sidoti, the Associated Press national political writer. Hey, Liz, thanks so much for coming on WNYC today.
Hey, Brian, no problem. Thanks for having me.
All right. Which House race has really captivated you? Is that fair to ask a national political reporter?
Well, absolutely. For me, it's Mary Jo Kilroy's race in Ohio. It encompasses Ohio State University and the surrounding areas. And what's fascinating to me about this race is this is a perennial swing district. And, you know, this was a place where President Obama won big in 2008, in part because he boosted the number of minorities and the number of young people who were voting. And Mary Jo Kilroy now finds herself in a situation where she is likely to lose because Obama's coalition of voters aren't turning out in droves this year as they did in 2008 when she was elected.
Any bellwether races that you think we should be watching early in the evening? Some polls close as early at 6 o'clock. We'll be starting our coverage, round-the-clock coverage, at 8 o'clock. Maybe by the time, you know, I come on with that at 8 o'clock tonight, I'll be saying, aha, this happened in Ohio, which closes in the 7 o'clock hour. This happened in Kentucky, which closes in the 6 o'clock hour. They must really not want people to vote, by the way, in places like Kentucky and Indiana, Liz, where they close the polls at 6 o'clock. You know, you can't even get home from work and have time to vote if it closes at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, I do think it's difficult, but I think in many, many more states, now you're seeing early voting occur, and so there are far more opportunities for voters to, you know, cast their ballot before Election Day.
So pre-8 o'clock, what are the biggest couple of races to watch?
I'll tell you what, you need to watch the Senate race in West Virginia. This is the key. If the Senate If the Republican John Racey manages to win that Senate seat in West Virginia, what that tells me is that the Republicans very well could win control of the Senate. If Governor Joe Manchin wins that Senate seat and Democrats hang on to it, that tells me that it's near impossible for Republicans to win control of the Senate. Now, remember, going into today, the pundits and the guesstimators out there who've been looking at data will say that Republicans have a big chance to sweep the House. Republicans are saying if they win 60, 70 House seats, that they very well could win the Senate as well. And I think that's true. You don't see a wave like that without it affecting the Senate races as well.
Interesting. All right. Judith and Chelsea, what are you watching outside the New York City area? Hi.
Hi. I'm watching Tucson, Arizona, two congressional races, Raul Grijalva and Gabby Giffords. And do you want my reasons?
Yeah, of course.
Sure, okay.
It's not interesting without the reasons.
I'm from Tucson, and both of them have very progressive agendas, Raul Grijalva especially. He, when the governor of Arizona came out with the anti-immigration law, he came out and said that people should boycott Arizona. Unfortunately, that brought a large reaction against him. He's been very secure before that, but the Republican and independent groups have been flooding the area. He's up against a very conservative, I'm not sure if it's a Tea Party person, but they are trying to get him out of office. He's been in for, I think this is his fourth term, and he's got very progressive policies. So he's really been in need of money and support, and it's been going against him. Gabby Giffords has been targeted by the Republicans and the National Republican Party and the anonymous independent groups as a potential leader nationally. And if she stays in office, they're concerned that she might be a Senate candidate and get, you know, in Arizona to get a Democrat in would be highly remarkable. Mm-hmm. So they are trying to get her out of office early.
Two interesting races from Arizona. Well described, Judith. Thank you very much.
Okay.
John in Greenpoint, what are you watching outside the New York area?
I actually have an interesting circumstance. I am registered in Pennsylvania, and I am driving home at the moment to vote in the Sestak Toomey race and Patrick Murphy for the Democrat Congress for Bucks County.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm following that, and I care about it. I'm not specifically pleased with Obama, but I am more concerned with the Tea Party. It's been an atrocious 2 years, I don't want to see them in there at all.
You're voting to stop the Tea Party. John, thank you very much. Scott in Brooklyn, what race are you watching?
I've been in New York for 25 years, but I'm an expatriate of Texas, so I'm naturally drawn to the Texas gubernatorial race, in which Bill White's mother was my high school speech teacher. And I happen to know Bill a little bit from back many, many years ago. He's a couple years older than me, and it's just very frustrating to me to be able to watch this thing and see this Governor Perry refuse to actually run against his opponent, Bill White, but chose to run against Obama. And talk about, you know, again, another irony is Perry's been in office for 25 years. So as far as incumbencies being dangerous species, certainly not in Austin, Texas, it doesn't look like, because it doesn't appear that White's going to win this one. And I think it's just such a shame. He's such a good, good man, would make such a good governor. He was an outstanding mayor of Houston. And what a shame.
Scott, thank you for your call. And Liz Sidoti, AP national political writer. How about that as a national trend? Do we see gubernatorial candidates running against Obama in the case of Republicans, even though these are state offices, not federal offices?
It's actually very interesting. You're seeing gubernatorial candidates handle him very differently. For example, in Ohio, where Governor Ted Strickland is really fighting an uphill battle to win re-election, it's a very tight race. He has embraced Obama. He has hugged the president repeatedly, and the president has come to Ohio quite often to campaign on behalf of Ted Strickland. But in Florida, Alex Sink, the Democrat, has really distanced herself from the president, believing that in a state that is held by Republicans, it's not the smartest thing to do to embrace the president. And so each gubernatorial candidate is handling it very, very differently. And some are running away, and some are sticking close, and others are trying to straddle and do both. depending on the circumstance.
Bob in Brooklyn, what out-of-town race are you watching today? Hi.
Hi, I've been following Alan West in the 22nd District in Florida from about Pompano Beach up to West Palm, and he's a retired Army colonel and decorated Gulf War veteran. And I think the Republicans this year are running 35 or 40 black congressional candidates who are conservatives. They're businessmen and retired military, and I think that's really a bright future for America. So I'm very happy about Alan West, and I've also been, I think the other key race in America is Governor Brewer's victory in Arizona. You had another caller who talked about liberal candidates in Arizona. Arizona is fighting a desperate battle for law and order and enforcing on the books federal laws that the federal government has been avoiding. And I think it's a real battle for the future of America.
The candidate for Congress you mentioned from Florida, Alan West, is he running against the Democratic incumbent? Is that a seat they hope to flip?
You know, I'm sorry to tell you,
sure.
I don't know, I don't care.
You're
Alan West,
in
one
him.
Of the great young American black people in this country, and he's the future of the Republican Party.
Thank you. Liz, anything to suggest that there will be even one black Republican member of the House of Representatives at the end of tonight? Because I don't think there is one now, is there?
No, there isn't. To my knowledge, and I have to be honest with you, keeping up with all the races, I've sometimes lose a little bit of track. But
and the Tea Party, the Tea Party loves to talk about how they have some black members, and I think some black prominent members of the Tea Party are getting a tremendous amount of media attention. And, you know, I just wonder, is that going to translate into even one black Republican seriously in contention to win at the end of the day?
I think what we found throughout the last year of this campaign is that anything can happen. And I know that sounds like the easy way out, but in this case, it's true. We have seen so many surprises in this campaign, from Alaska to Connecticut, that it's hard to say right now definitively what we're going to see tonight. But what we do know is Republicans will make huge gains across the board. And whether or not there will be African-Americans included in those gains, I think we'll find out tomorrow.
By the way, our deep polling research department here at the Brian Lehrer Show just looked up that race and discovered that in the polling, Alan West does have a slight lead over the Democrat Ron Klein in that Florida mm-hmm. district. So mm-hmm. That is one to watch tonight along those lines. All right, we are going to leave it here and go on to another call-in. If you want to continue to plug your out-of-town races, you can do so on our politics website. It's afreecountry.org. You can do it tonight as well, as we have an evening-long online chat during our election return show starting at 8 o'clock on itsafreecountry.org. Of course, on the air, we'll be here on WNYC FM and AM. And Liz Sidoti, AP national political writer, any last thought going out the door? Give us one more. How about this Joe Miller craziness in Alaska, where the write-in candidate, the incumbent is the write-in candidate, Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski?
This is a race that truly could go anyway. I think what we were seeing in the final hours is that Joe Miller was losing momentum. Lisa Murkowski was gaining momentum, and the Democrats believe that Scott McAdams actually may have a shot at this thing. Remember, in Alaska, polling is very difficult, and only a couple thousand votes can sway a race. But the thing with Alaska is, because there's so many write-in ballots mm-hmm. and there are so few people who cast votes, it may actually be, the weekend before we know a result. Or perhaps even Thanksgiving.
Yeah, because if they have to wait for the absentee ballots, I know
sure.
that would be a couple of weeks, according to Alaska law. What did Joe Miller do to blow it? It's Alaska, after all. He's got Sarah Palin. He should have walked into this thing after he won the Republican primary. What was his big gaffe?
He had several, actually, that he came out. He came out with things in his past that he didn't disclose. He had cast himself as a reformer, but then also had, I believe it was tax issues that really came to light and made people question whether or not he was a reformer in the mold of Sarah Palin.
Liz Sidoti, AP National Political Writer, thanks a lot.
Thanks, bye-bye.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. It's our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific Election Day exit poll. Our next question, we'll take calls just for the next few minutes on this question. Are you voting for something or against something on this Election Day? Are you going to the polls to vote for something or against something on this Election Day? Call up and tell us for what or against what. 212-433-WNYC. Don't overthink it. We're just going to do this for a few minutes. Call up. You'll get right on. Are you voting for something or against something this Election Day? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. We'll take those calls right after this. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Okay, we're asking on our politics website, itsafreecountry.org, how do you feel today? And we have a list of emotions, or you can add another one. Angry, disappointed, hopeful, scared, excited, disinterested, other. And let's see what's winning. Right now, disappointed is leading with about 25% of the vote. Other, and you can see the list of things that people wrote, is second with about 17%. Scared, so we have disappointed and scared. Scared, 14%. Hopeful, 13%. And there you go. So those are the ones. Disappointed, scared, and hopeful are leading our emotion survey for Election Day. Go and cast. It's not a vote, but go tell us how you're feeling on this Election Day at itsafreecountry.org. You'll see that survey right there on the homepage. Okay, quick call in on whether you're voting today for something or against something. Melinda in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Voting for something or against something?
I'm voting for holding on to the House, and I actually just moved to Westchester, and I'm in John Hall's congressional district. So I don't really know him, but I'm voting for him to hold on to the House.
Okay, and that's an important vote because that is a swing district. Alice in Park Slope, voting for something or against something?
I am voting against having natural gas drilling in the state, so I guess I'm voting for stopping that.
Thank you. Joe in the West Village, voting for something or against something today?
I am voting for term limits. Stop all these triple-termers, quadruple-termers.
Sue in Queens, voting for something or against something today? Sue, you there? No, Sue. Barbara, are you voting for something or against something today?
For something.
Which is?
Which is I'm voting for the people who I know will continue the Obama administration's policies.
For the Obama agenda. Ron in Norwalk, voting for something or against something today?
I'm voting for continuation of the successes of the administration, which people seem to overlook. Healthcare reform, financial reform, getting the economy stabilized. I'm voting for the Democratic Party because I think they've done what we asked them to do.
Thank you. David in Howell, voting for something or against something today?
I'm voting against Marxism. I mean, from what I can tell from Obama's autobiographies, his heart is in Marxism, and he has led this Congress. And by his campaigning during this race, he has made the election largely about himself. And so I see myself as voting for capitalism.
Thank you. Melanie in Orange County, voting for something or against something today?
I am voting against something, and that something is the two-party system. I am sick and tired of having only two choices. And except for John Hall and Schumer, I am voting all down along the Green Party line.
Thank you very much. All right. That's all the time that we have for this one. And again, with any of these, you can post them to our pages at itsafreecountry.org or WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And a quick reminder that we have a lot for you this Election Day on our politics website. It's a freecountry.org. If you're still making up your mind, we have a voter's guide with concise information about the contested races all around New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut. So if you're still making up your mind on anything, that includes the various newspaper endorsements. So that might help you at itsfreecountry.org. Another hour to come of our informal, unofficial, thoroughly unscientific Election Day exit poll. This is WNYC FM and AM New York and WNYC.org.